Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lent is a difficult and challenging time in many ways, but it is also a time to remember. To remember and rejoice at all of the many wondrous and mighty things that God has done for people like you and me. It is certainly a time to reflect and repent on all of the sins that we have committed, repent of all of the sins that we have committed. It is certainly a time to pray and even praise, to praise the Lord for those mighty deeds. But it is most definitely a time to remember and rejoice. This is a blessing, this time of year. It's a blessing that we get to slow down and not take the fever pitch pace that we have, unless you're a pastor, throughout most of the year. A time to slow down and to think. A time to slow down and repent. A time to slow down and take inventory of who we are and remember exactly who God is. And so it is a time of blessing. But there's another blessing that sometimes we overlook, that we have all year round, and it comes in the four witnesses of Jesus that we have in the Bible, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. From four different perspectives, we're told the same stories. We get little different details here and there, but they all point to Jesus as the Christ, the one who will go to the cross and take the sins of the whole world. And that is exactly why we gather during this Lenten season, to follow Jesus once again for the 30th time, the 40th time, the 50th time, the 80th time, all the way to the cross. And there again, see God's love for you. What a blessing that is. And as we consider Lent this year, we go through the blessing that Luke brings to us. But before we get to that story that I just told from Luke, I would like you to consider the other reading for just a little bit. There we have a familiar story, but it bears repeating some of the backstory. Remember Joseph? He was Dad's favorite. He got a nice coat, and his brothers were jealous, and so they conspire against him and throw him in a hole in the ground that was meant for water. Then they sell him into slavery, and life, you wouldn't think, would get any worse, but then we hear the story of him and Potiphar's wife, where he has to flee, leaving another coat behind, grasped in her hand. Joseph, the loser of coats. His life wasn't all that easy. His life wasn't all that grand after his brothers did those things to him. And yet the Lord still had favor upon him. So much so that he became second in Egypt only to Pharaoh. Running the country, so comfortable was Pharaoh with him that he would leave him to run all of his affairs, and he got to go live the life of a king or emperor, or however you want to look at it. And Joseph took care of everybody. He got wind of the famine that was coming, and so he began to store up food to make sure that everybody that was under his leadership would have enough food. This would come to include his brothers, his own family, the ones who had sold him into slavery. And as we heard from our first lesson tonight, his brothers are ashamed, scared. They come to him, they fall down on their knees, and they say, "We are your servants. Don't even treat us as brothers." But he looks at them and says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That's kind of the theme for Lent. That is the theme for our Lent. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He understood that God had put him in this position, and the only way he was going to get into this position is if he went through everything else. And God put him there so that he could help many, many people live. When we consider our own lives, we get a little bit better and a little more bitter taste of this. We don't always understand why we have to go through the things that we go through. Whether it's that diagnosis of cancer, whether it's that accident with the PTO, whether it is the bills that just never stop. We don't always understand why we can't hit it big, why we can't do the good things, live like the Pharaoh did. We might not understand, but we can take this to heart. The world and Satan and everyone around us might mean it for evil. Certainly Satan and the world do. But God will see you through it, and He will use it for good in your life and in others. We might not always see that good. We might not always understand what that good is. It might come years after our death, but God can and will use all things for the good of those who love Him. And so we turn now to our lesson in Luke. There we see Jesus, concerned about preparing the Passover meal. He sends His disciples on a blind mission, and He says, go follow this guy with a jug of water, and I want you to consider just how difficult it would have been to follow Jesus like the disciples did. They pull up to a well. They're ready to take a break, and Jesus says, I'm hungry. So He sends them into the town for food, and they go into the town for food, and meanwhile, He sits there, and He talks to a woman that is embarrassed to come to the well while all of the other women come there, and tells her everything that she has done, and sends her away amazed. And about then, the disciples come back, and they have their grocery bags, their baguettes sticking out, and some of the lettuce there, and they say, we brought food, Jesus. And He says, I don't need it. If you knew who I was really, you would have asked me for the food that never perishes. Why did we go into town? What is this for? Why did we do this? So in our lesson today, Jesus sends them into town again. This time to follow a man with a water jug. They follow him, and they get to the upper room just like He said, and they go to prepare the Passover. Jesus fervently desired to celebrate this with them because He was prepared not only for this Passover, but for the greater Passover that was coming. Because He knew that it was His time to deliver His people once again. Not just as it was in the Old Testament in the Exodus when God delivered them from Pharaoh, when God delivered them from His armies, when God sent the plagues. Not just like that, but deliver them in an even greater way. Not with the blood of bulls or goats, but with Jesus' own blood. Jesus was prepared not only for that Passover meal with unleavened bread, but for the ultimate Passover that He would become as He went to the cross to bear fruit for people like you and me. But we also learn in this lesson that evil stood against Christ. And this isn't a lesson that we need to dwell too long on, because we know that evil stands against good out of the world. We can see it in our own lives. When we try to do something good, it seems like everything goes wrong. Sometimes we're the evil that stands in our own way, because we have that one sin that we just can't quite overcome. And it always gets in the way of our good works. In our lesson, Satan enters into Judas. And being where we're at in history, it is all too easy to just gloss over that, to think, well, Judas, that's just his role, that's who he was, and he's going to be the betrayer, and he's going to die. But think how tragic that was, that one of the 12 would follow Jesus for those 3 years. One of the 12 that Jesus himself picked would betray him. Evil indeed stood against Christ. As I said, in our own lives, we encounter evil on a daily basis. Turn on the news and it's everywhere. Look at our own lives and we remember the death of loved ones. Evil will stand against Christ. But then we come to the final truth. Jesus knew all of this. As I said, Jesus was prepared. Not only was he prepared to eat the Passover meal, but he was prepared to give his body and his blood on that cross, that it might be the fruit of life that we eat on a regular basis. Jesus was prepared for the evil to stand against him. Jesus was prepared to go to the cross. As we read this story, I don't blame the people that aren't part of the Christian church that read this and think, what in the world is going on? How in the world is this how you defeat evil? By sending your own son, the king of the universe, the creator of all, as testified in John, to the cross to die. How is that the way that you win? Satan and Judas and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all who opposed Christ, meant it for evil, but God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew exactly what he was doing by sending his son to die on that cross, because when his son went on the hearts and minds of both father and son were the names of the people here at Mount Calvary. The ones that he knew he needed to go to the cross for and die. The names of all who would believe in him were on his heart and on his mind, that he might shed his blood and there deliver them from their sin. And he looked out in the world before the beginning, and he knew that there would be confusion, that there would be people like me that looks at their life and thinks, what in the world? Why do I keep doing those things that I shouldn't do? He knew there would be people like you that have those sins that you just can't quite get over, and have those difficulties and trials that come up seemingly out of nowhere. And that night when he was preparing for the Passover, he was prepared to go to the cross to take all of those things to the grave, that as he descended into hell, he might lay them at the foot of the person that needed them most and leave them there, announcing his victory and bringing salvation to all who believe in him, especially each and every one of you. So though we might not understand God's plan all the time, God knows exactly what he's doing. Though the world might mean it for evil, God means it for good. And he gives that good to you through his word and sacrament each and every week. He gives that word to you as often as you need it, that you might hear Jesus and know him as your Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.